Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Robin Christofferson.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk then. Yes, this is the technology show for blind and partially sighted people, brought to you by me, Stephen Scott from the RNIB, and Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Hi, Robin.
Hello. Hi, guys.
So welcome back to it then for another week. More to talk about this week, including the popular Voice Dream Scanner app. Robin, this is the app everyone's talking about.
Yep, quite right too.
Yeah, and we're going to find out why. We're going to be joined by Thomas Domville, who has been reviewing it for AppleViz.com, a website that you, and I blame you for this, Robin. I'm going to blame you a lot, I think, during the course of this episode, because you got me back into the Mac again, and you're blaming AppleViz for you getting into the Mac.
Yep. Fantastic resources there. Nobody has got an excuse not to, if they want to, get to grips with the old Apple devices, Macs in particular. Yeah, go for it.
So we'll find out about the website. We're not going to talk about accessibility on Mac, though. We're going to talk about this particular app, though, that they are featuring on the website. You can check, and also the podcast as well. Find out all about AppleViz here on the show this week. Plus, we're looking into the news as well. Lots of exciting stuff going on in the world of tech, and your emails coming up as well here on Tech Talk. But first, we kick things off with a chat with Thomas Domville from AppleViz, who joins us, because I want to talk all about, AppleViz itself and also the new Voice Dream Scanner app. Great to have you here, Thomas.
It is great to be here. Thank you.
It is great to have you here because you are from AppleViz. Now, look, I started getting into the Mac. I've been boring Robin with this now for a while. It's kind of your fault, Robin, if I'm honest about it.
And I would say that AppleViz fired me up on getting into the Mac, and well, obviously iOS came first, but yeah, so perhaps we should blame Thomas.
Okay, well, in a circular way, we're all blaming each other. I'm the only one here who's not to blame for anything, for once, although I'm sure we'll find something along the way. But yeah, I started getting back into the Mac. I love Mac, and I've always loved it. Loved the iPhone more, I would say, in the past few years, but always wanted to get back into Mac, partly because of that whole unified experience that you get, between all your devices working together and all the rest of it. And I just thought it would be great to get back in. And I'd been talking to Robin, and he'd been giving me some really useful tips about things I could do. And then I thought, right, hang on a minute. There's this website that I've known about for years. Never go to it. I don't know why. But I thought, this is the time. This is the moment to start using this website. And that website is AppleViz. Now, I think it's brilliant. But for those who don't know about it, like me being an idiot for a long time, Thomas, tell us about AppleViz.
Well, it was all started by David Goodwin, and I guess, for those that are still on the mailing list or used to be on these so-called mailing lists, a mailing list is a place where you obviously get mail and you have a community of people just responding back and forth through email, so they'll ask questions and things like that. And as you can imagine, that gets pretty heavy in traffic and hairy on your email box. It just gets hundreds of them. And so David had this great idea. There's a lot of great things coming out of these mailing lists, but the problem is that somebody recommends an app or say this or that, it just disappears. So there was no single place to go to that would be able to recap or talk about something that somebody have talked about in the past, so they don't have to rehash it. So a subject would keep coming up and up and up. So he had this brilliant idea to create AppleViz as a website, a community-based website where people can come and they can review apps, submit guides, tutorials. We have podcasts. We have forum posts where people can post questions. And so that way, people will be able to search and see if something has already been discussed or to ask questions. And obviously, one of the big reason I started using AppleViz was I was an well, actually, I had an iPad Nano first, and then I got myself an iPhone, and then I discovered AppleViz. And so I just started reviewing all sorts of apps and tried to share with other people that would might have interest in seeing if it's accessible or not. So that was a long time ago. My gosh, I think it's probably coming up this summer. It'd be 9 years since I've been on the team. Wow. Yeah, there's quite a bit of us on the team itself. A lot of you probably are familiar with Scott Devert and Tyler Stevens and Dave Nason and Michael Hansen and Alex Hall. Those are all the people on the team along with me, but David Goodwin is the one that leads us up. So it's a great resource for anyone with any kind of Apple products.
Absolutely, and a strength that it has is that it's able to, all of the reviews for the apps that are in-depth and include information about any accessibility issues that they have, and that's regularly updated. So it is definitely the go-to place for knowing whether something, particularly if you're about to spend your hard-earned cash on it, will be accessible.
Definitely, especially if you are just don't know if you want to update to that next iOS or whatever, the new Mac OS X. It's not a bad idea to check AppleViz, because you know as well as I do, Robin, is that you don't know what you're getting yourself into sometime. And I kind of regret in hindsight that I shouldn't update certain things. So it's a great place to find out beforehand if it's worth doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I was watching a piece on the news the other day that was talking about the importance of upgrading or updating your apps and your software when new updates come out. And the general advice is, as soon as an update comes out, get it installed on your system, which is great advice from a security standpoint. But there are real issues sometimes around apps that update and are broken in terms of accessibility, and that can make apps for us unusable at times. So more caution is needed at times, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, because, you know, here's a great example. I'm not sure if you guys have something called Lyft. Lyft is a service that allows us to arrange a ride to get us one point to another out here. So,
like Uber.
Yeah, just like Uber, yeah.
Yeah, just like an Uber. That somebody just updated that recently and found out it broke on them. And it was like, oh my gosh, and they used that as their livelihood, and to have something that was working just fine, getting rides, and all of a sudden it doesn't work that day, and you get late to work or whatever, have not to your appointments, that could be a bad thing. So unfortunately, you know, we will hear some, you know, the users will typically chime up and say, hey, it's broken, don't update. As you say, it's not always wise. If it's working now, don't update until you absolutely have to update it. That is a good example of what could happen.
That is the problem that we have. But there are a lot of good apps out there, and I want to focus in on one, and I'm so glad you're here to talk about this, because you've been reviewing on AppleViz.com the Voice Dream Scanner app, and I know a number of our listeners are really, really interested in this app. It seems to be the one, it's that kind of hot new thing at the moment, isn't it, that everyone's talking about in blind world. And everyone I talk to who is blind is saying, have you tried this yet? Have you tried it? Are you downloading it? Because it does have so many wonderful features. And you've been looking into this for AppleViz.com. So I think first, let's hear your review, because you've very kindly offered to let us play this out. This is featured on the AppleViz.com website. You can listen to a full, longer version of this on the website there. We're going to play you part of that now. This is Thomas's review of the VoiceDream Scanner app available on iPhone.
It is a paid app. If you're not familiar with the VoiceDream software in general or the family of the VoiceDream, you should, because it has one of my favorite apps, like the VoiceDream Reader and the VoiceDream Writer. Both are excellent, top-notch app, and just like this one, the VoiceDream Scanner, it is no exception. This is an excellent product, a very well-rounded app, very simple, easy to use, fantastic UI interface, and fantastic detection. All right, so basically, let's go take a step back here. If you're not familiar with a scanner, what is a scanner? A scanner allows you to scan a document, a piece of paper, a parcel, anything you want it to read. So in this two examples, I have a piece of paper that has a contract that I deal with the state of Missouri. And I also have a document here that I got from a medication today. This is a medication that I take for my asthma, and I wanted to have it scanned and read to me in an OCR format. What it's going to do is going to scan it. It's going to look for text and turn them into text so you can read them. And then you can be able to extract those texts, save as a page, and whatever have not with it. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to go to the scanner app itself. It is labeled as scanner.
Scanner.
So once installed, just do a one finger double tap on scanner.
Scanner. Menu. Button.
You get to the menu button. The menu button's at the top left. Now, two things that might happen for you is that, number one, you might hear a tone. That tone I will explain in a few moments. And two, you will notice the light on the back of the phone is now lit up. That is for low lighting, so it will get better performance and efficiency out of the scanning results. So that's why that is on. Now, as I mentioned, the menu button is at the top left. I'm going to introduce you the first screen itself. So as you swipe to the right.
Import photo button.
You have the option to import photo. So if you have a photo in your photo library, you can just double tap that. Find the photo that you want to scan and perform an OCR. You can do that if you wish. Now go to the right.
Image preview. Double tap to capture image.
Exactly that. This is when you're ready to capture the image that you want to perform the scan. This is where you go one finger double tap. That is located right in the center of the screen. As I swipe to the right.
Capture image button.
There's another option. It tells you right there. You can double tap.
Edge detection on button. Turn on to automatically detect the edges of a page for cropping.
That is a really nice feature. If you are into cropping the edges off, you will, by default, this is set on. I'm going to leave this as it is. Swipe to the right.
Flashlight on button.
The flashlight is, as mentioned, by default, is on. I highly recommend you leaving this on for best results. And then the last two items to the right.
Batch mode off button. Turn on to automatically capture image when a page's edges are detected and the camera is steady. This feature is in beta.
Now, obviously, this is in beta of the time of this recording. This is for batch mode. So you have the ability to do batch mode. This is fantastic if you have pages and pages of things you want to take pictures quickly and fast. You want to double tap this to turn on. That way you hold the phone above the piece of paper. It'll automatically take a scan. And you just go to the next page, it'll detect it, and take a scan, go to the next page, and then a scan, and et cetera, et cetera. Also, one more button to the right.
Auto capture, beta, off, button.
The auto capture is exactly as what it says. It automatically takes a picture for you, so you don't have to do a one-finger double tap. In this demonstration, I'm going to keep this off. I like to control the image myself. I typically get a little better results that way. But if you are pretty steady handed and you are pretty proficient in using this, I highly recommend you turn on the auto capture. But in this demonstration, I'm going to leave this off. So let's go back towards the middle of the screen.
Image preview. Double tap to capture image.
Okay, so we're ready. Now, you're not hearing anything. That is because it doesn't see anything to scan. So in other words, it's just facing down. As I always say, when you try to scan a document, remember that the camera on the back of your phone is at the top right-hand corner of your phone. So remember to place the phone at the top right-hand corner down onto the item that you want to scan in the center. That way you know that's the center portion. And you're going to lift your phone up. You're going to raise it up. I'm going to raise it up to about 12 inches, so a little bit higher than phone height, because I want to be able to get the entire image. Now, you're going to hear this beep, 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 and it's going to say, I see it. And the stronger the tone is, the better the result that you get, that it starts to see all the edges. So here we go. Let's go over here. I'm going to place this right in the middle, as promised, and I'm going to raise it up, and I'm going to go about 12 inches. There you go. Pretty steady there. Double tap and take a picture.
Image preview. Keep button.
Okay, so what it did, it just took a picture of the document. I'm going to see how good this is. Now, the first thing you heard here, it says keep. That means I want to keep this scan. That is at the bottom right-hand corner of the phone. And I swipe to the left.
Discard button.
That's a discard button. That is at the bottom left-hand corner. Let me show you some other things here. Right above the key button is the play button. That's exactly where I want to go. And I will demonstrate all the other things once I get to this play button. I want to go ahead and play this so you can hear for yourself how amazing this is. Because what I'm finding with this is that I just picked it up, go do it, take a picture, boom. It was really fast. A lot of time they say, I don't see the left, I don't see the right. There are other applications that will be pretty cool. It will tell you if you're tilting the phone. It'll tell you if you're level. And you know what? That can be very frustrating, especially if you don't have a very level-handed, and it takes forever to take a picture, right? Well, all I did was just lift it up. I have no idea if I'm askewed, which is tilted, or if I'm not level or whatever not, but it tells me that you are in a pretty good area that I see everything. Go ahead and take a picture, right? So, above the key button is the play button. So, let's find the play button.
Play button.
There's the play button. I'm going to do a one-finger double tap. Let's see what it has to say.
Telephone, 816, prescription information, 1, Advair 250-50 discus, morning puff, inhale 1 puff by mouth 2 times a day, midday, 1 evening puff, important information, rinse mouth well after each use, drug does not work immediately, do not use for acute attack, this drug
one
will not stop
tap.
An asthma attack.
So one finger to tap the play button, and one finger double tap again, stops it. I don't know about you, but this is an amazing result for something. I am sitting in a very dark room, and I have no idea where everything is. I was just lifting it up and just going. That is truly amazing right there, because there's a lot of other scanners that do not do this as well as this. And so it read everything beautifully. And you're probably asking yourself, so where is this document? Well, it's towards the top of the screen, so you can do Touch Explore. Touch Explore means I'm going to put my finger on the screen to find a set of text.
Important information, rinse mouth well after each use.
Drug okay, there's that part. Let's go left.
One
swipe
evening
left.
Puff. Midday. Inhale one puff by mouth two. Morning puff. Advair 250. One. Prescription information.
Oh, there it is. So let's go back to the right.
One.
One.
Advair 250. 50 discuss.
Okay. Tells me there's one of those.
Morning puff.
Tells me what to do.
Inhale one puff by mouth two times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Midday. One evening puff. Important information. Rinse mouth well after each use. Drug does not work immediately. Do not use for acute attack. This drug will not stop an asthma.
So you can have it read to you by the play button automatically, or
discard
you can just
button.
Go ahead and tap to the screen where the text is, where you think it is, and you can just start swiping one line at a time to read. That is pretty cool. Now, above the discard button, remember the discard button is at the bottom left.
Discard button.
And above this,
crop image button.
It's a crop image button. If you're interested in cropping this, you can double tap to do that. I'm going to go swipe to the right.
Enhance image on button.
Obviously, the enhance image is on. You want to leave that on to get much better efficiency of the scan result. Go to the right.
View text or image. Showing image button.
Right now, it's showing it as an image. So if you are interested as a text, I just do one finger double tap on this.
View text or image, showing text.
It shows it as a text. And then to the right of this.
Voice settings button.
Voice settings. You were hearing the voice that I had on myself. By default, you may hear a different voice than what you have set on your device. My device, I have enhanced Tom. That's what I'm used to. And that is what's going to use to read the document itself. Now, I did not go into the menu itself, so let's do that. Let's go to the one at the top left-hand corner of the main page is the menu button. One finger double tap.
Scanner. Heading.
We have all the different things under here, such as settings, help, where to contact them, and other various social networking that you can follow them. So let's go to the right here.
Close button.
Close is at the top right-hand corner to the right.
Settings button.
From here, let's do a one-finger double tap and see what's under here.
Scanner. Back button.
Let's go to the right.
Settings. Heading. Close. Button.
Closes at the top right-hand corner.
Always enhance images. Switch button. On.
This is the auto enhancement. This, by default, is on. I keep this on because this is how you're going to get extremely good scan and OCR result if you leave this on. Go to the right.
Read text automatically after capture. Switch button. Off.
All right, by default, it is off. If you want it to read automatically without having to find the play button, like we did in this demonstration, you can just double tap that
on,
and that turns that item on. So the next time I scan something, it's going to read it automatically to you. Now, there's only three items in here, so we have one more item left here. Go to the right.
Clay tone when edges detected. Switch button on.
If you don't like the beeping in the tone, you can turn this off. It is turned on by default. So let's get out of here. I'm going to go to the close button at the top right.
Close button.
And double tap.
Image preview.
And we're back out to the main menu. All right. I'm telling you, this is probably one of the best scanner, hands down, I've ever seen when it comes to the best results. The quickness, the user interface is beautiful. I love the process, how I can go save this directly to my VoiceDream reader. I can save this to Dropbox, all sorts of different options. Absolutely fantastic.
So there you go. Thomas, a wonderful review, one of many that you can find on the Apple Viz podcast. I'm assuming you just find that anywhere you get your podcasts.
Pretty much. Every show note, there's always going to be a link to the app itself. So anybody can just go to the show note and download the link from there, or you can just come to appleviz.com and do a search for, in this example, VoiceDream Scanner, and you should be able to find the iOS app entry for that, and that'll have a link to the download on iTunes, and also it should be a link to the podcast.
I did a review of this app and another popular scanning application for computers called Kurzweil 1000 for another tech show. Shock horror, there's more than one. But yes, there is. And for the other show. And when I was doing it, I was absolutely amazed. I don't mind telling you that, you know, a piece of software that costs £995 here in the UK, Kurzweil 1000, which has been around for a long time, up to version 14 at the moment. And that's what I'm using at home. And I use that primarily for book scanning. I like to, nowadays especially, I like to scan in some old books I've got that I can't get in any other format. And I compared that £995 app, let's say £1,000 app, if you want to call it an app, it's an application. It's the old days when you called them apps.
$1,500?
Yeah. I mean, that is a huge amount of money. Compare that to VoiceDream Scanner, which is available for less than a tenner. So I was amazed to find that personally, I felt that the app read better, or the text read better from VoiceDream Scanner than it did on Kurzweil. Not that there was anything wrong with Kurzweil, but there were certain things, like for example, my name. In the demonstration, I created a false document for myself, a false letter for the scanner to read. So I knew what it was going to say ahead of time. And it said at the beginning of the letter, "Dear Mr. Scott." Well, it said that because that's my name, obviously. But the thing was, Kurzweil read it as "Dear M.R. Scott," which I thought was interesting. And VoiceDream Scanner read it as "Dear Mr. Scott." And it's just a little tiny thing, but it does make the difference between wondering what something really says and getting the full picture of what it actually says. And that was from the cheap app compared to the very expensive software. This is a pretty good app running with a pretty good OCR engine, isn't it, Thomas?
Oh, definitely. As many OCR apps has come out in the past 5 years or so, because I believe KNFV Reader is coming up on 5 years, coming up in about a month. But this app is just purely simplicity and use it quickly, which is the two main thing about it, and accuracy. It is just amazing, because one of the things I really fell in love with this is how simple the interface is. There isn't clutter, there isn't much in there, and you just tap this and it's going, it's done, it's ready. And after that, there isn't a whole lot to pick from. So I like the simplicity of it. To the speedness of it, I, you know, as soon as I turn that on, you hear this tone and you're going, what in the world is these tones? But as soon as it detects the four edges of the document, it's just kind of like a flat line, like, you know, somebody died on the surgery table. It's like
time of death.
Yeah. And so you just double tap and it just starts scanning, and I find the responsiveness so much quicker than others. And that's just the beauty of it. And like you said, for a whopping £699 or $699 US dollars, it's a bargain to walk away with. compare to other OCR apps out there.
Now, in the longer demo, the full one on the AppleViews podcast or website, you do a second comparison as well. You scan in another document and that you had similar results there again as well. And you do talk about comparing it to KNFB Reader, which, you know, a lot of people will be saying in their minds, well, where does KNFB Reader stand these days? So, yeah, do you want to just quickly, briefly summarize where you think there might be a market for KNFB Reader still, or do you think it's day?
Well, bearing in mind, just before you say that, Thomas, bearing in mind the K in KNFB Reader, for those who don't know, stands for Kurzweil, which is, going back to my point earlier about Kurzweil software, it's the same OCR engine in the very expensive program on the computer as is in the app. So, you know, yeah, how does it compare?
Well, you guys, you know, 5 years ago, I mean, that was the app to go with, right? I mean, even just a couple of years ago. Comparison, you know, there are some advantages still with the KNFB Reader, I will admit to say. One is that it does support multiple columns, which I'm not sure if VoiceStream Scanner does, but that is one thing to think about. And two, I came across the other day, I was thinking about this, I had a PDF and an email attachment, and I wanted to send that to VoiceStream Scanner, and I couldn't. But I could to KNFB Reader to read to me, because I get a lot of PDFs from my office that I need to read through. So there are some advantages to it, but the problem with the KNFB Reader, one is, as you said, the price is, good Lord, very high for an app. Not saying that it's not worth it, but it, for us that we have always gotten used to dollars, to $5, to $10, or whatever have you, that was a substantial amount of money. It seems like it's just been abandoned in some ways. It's been a long time since there's been an update. There's a bug to it, which is very annoying, because as soon as I scan something, yeah, sure, it'll play back just sort of kind of fine, which I'll get to in a second. But the main problem is that if you want to read it by text line by line, you can't. It only reads it by word. So as I'm flicking to the right, it does one word at a time. So that's, it's like, oh my gosh, this is not a good thing to have. You know, the thing I love about the VoiceStream Scanner over KNFB Reader, I always try to go through rigorous testing. So I got this medication out, Tylenol Cold, just a box. And as you can imagine, in your mind, there are pictures on it. There's a picture of something, maybe a person or a pill or whatever. And there's different types of font sizes and variation. So I put the two to the test, and KNFB Reader comes back. It reads, then it goes jibber, jibber, jibber. And usually that's the photo, jibber, jibber, if its font isn't readable. But VoiceStream Reader, I don't know how it does it, but it just read the whole thing just without any gibberish. It's just amazing. It's like he has taken the algorithm and improved on it, so much so that obviously something in 2019 that, compared to an app that hasn't really gone through a whole lot of changes since 2014, the algorithm is so much more advanced, and he was able to do a lot more. That's, I'm assuming that's what he's done, but there is a huge difference in accuracy, but they both relatively do well in multiple scanning documents. So really, I still go back to VoiceStream Scanner just for the price and the value for the accuracy.
I think it's a great app, and I think the money that you're paying $6.99 for this app is, you know, it's one of those things. I often talk about, you know, the tools in the toolbox approach to life that we have with these phones. And that is essentially what smartphones are, a range of different tools, Swiss Army knife, whatever, however you want to describe it. And this is one which you definitely need to have. I mean, the Seeing AI as well, which is good. How does it compare with that, do you think? I mean, it's a free app.
Well, you know, I get that a lot. I have Seeing AI. I have Envision. Why should I go to this? I tell you why. One, Envision costs you every month for a monthly subscription, which I think is a little high.
Yep.
But if you're on the Android, it makes sense why you would do that, because there's not a whole lot of competition. So I think they do very well on the Android stance, but not on the iOS. The Microsoft Seeing AI, we all can say that is probably the one to have for everything. But, you know, it doesn't do a multiple document scanning. Oddly enough, between the Seeing AI and Envision, when it starts to read, you can't do a two-finger double tap to stop reading. You have to do a one-finger double tap, which doesn't follow the standard that we come to know to stop or play in media. So oddly, for something that's designed for those that are blind or visually impaired, it doesn't follow that rule, where VoiceStream Scanner and KNFB Reader does. And that's kind of odd. But, you know, it does a reasonably well job. It's free, and you're going to get for what you get. It's free. So it's going to get some gibberish and stuff. But if you are just wanting something to do, a quick scan, just get a ballpark idea of what it says, that's a perfect option. But if you need the accuracy and you need it to clearly read things to you, then there's hands down, there's you just definitely have to get the VDS.
So VoiceStream Scanner, definitely the one to go for if you're looking for an OCR app, and you know, the batch mode and all that, which allows you to do more. Auto capture, of course, is coming in beta mode at the moment. It is available to try. So that's an option as well. It's been very interesting talking to you about all this, Thomas. Remind us again, for those who don't know, I think it's a great website. We must talk about it a lot on this program, because it is really brilliant from the beginner to the expert. Really, everybody's included in this, and everyone involved is blind or partially sighted. Hallelujah! So, remind us again, the website, where the podcasts are, everything.
You can come and visit at www.appleviz.com. Once you come to land onto that page, you should be able to see it. For those that are on that are low vision, on the left side is your navigation, and one of those links is a podcast. You can click on that, and it'll take you to the list of podcasts. Or there are other options like apps, guides, tutorials, and things like that. And then in the center of the page, you should be able to see all the different forum posts that's going on.
And where can people find you on Twitter?
You can follow me at Thomas_DomBell. That's D as in Donald, O, M as in Mickey, V as in Victor, ILLE. So Thomas_DomBell.
Fantastic.
Great to have you on, Thomas. Thank you so much for coming on to Tech Talk and sharing your thoughts and telling us about the website.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Thomas.
Okay, Robin, it's time for this.
News from the internet.
And we kick things off with Google News because, well, this is a story you spotted, Robin. Google Assistant is apparently going to get more visual. Oh, goody. Tell us more.
So this is a TechCrunch article. Other articles have popped up about it as well. So Google are saying that on their voice assistant on the Android phones, they are going to be able to, or they want to, serve up more informative graphical graphs, charts, images that will be the response to the questions that we ask her or him. And that doesn't sound like good news for voiceover or talkback users, does it really?
No.
So that's a problem. And we'll just have to wait and see what the voice equivalent will be and whether Google still cater for talkback users or voice view on Samsung?
Screen reader, that's what they call it.
Yeah, that's
voice
right.
View on Amazon. Yeah, it gets a bit confusing, doesn't it? There's so many versions of it.
Absolutely. So anything which is Android-based potentially might be getting less accessible. And we've already seen this on google.com or google.co.uk. I'm sure we're all familiar with the top result when we do a search for something, sometimes not being accessible. And that's because what they call position zero in the search results is where they try and sum it up, often with a graph or chart or some sort of infographic. And it sounds like that's what they're bringing to their mobile AI assistant as well. So that's not good. And that's the Google search very visual results is one reason why I've moved over to DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, you were telling me this earlier. So what is DuckDuckGo? Is that another search engine? Because I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, so if you're concerned about privacy, we may have all experienced searching for something and then ads for that thing follow us around the internet. And that's because Google makes its money in part by selling our search preferences to other organizations so that they can then feed targeted ads at you. And some people have a certain amount of disquiet about quite how much Google knows about us. So obviously you can go incognito, as it is, with Google, you can bring up an incognito tab. And
just to be clear on that, because when this is something I was trying to remind people of, going incognito apparently means, tell me if I'm wrong, but apparently means that you are not letting anyone else, or not letting your computer store any of the information about where you visited. So say, for example, you share your computer with your wife and you're looking for a birthday present for her. You might not want her to find in your search history that you've been looking at bracelets and bangles and whatever else, because then she would know what you're looking at, right? So you might go into incognito mode for that. But the person or the company, and indeed the internet itself, still has record of where you've been. Is that right?
Well, whichever pages you visit, apparently they have an anonymized version. So it doesn't expose your IP address, for example, to the sites that you visit when you're incognito. You're supposed to be incognito, full stop, anonymous, full
yes.
stop. And there's a similar one with Safari. They call it in private browsing, is it? So basically, but there has been some disturbing stories in the past about Google still being, because obviously it's their browser, they are able to collect that data if they want to. They say that they won't use it to then take that information to sell to other people, etc., etc., but I have got a feeling from things that have come out in the past that Google actually still stores that information, even in that kind of private browsing session. So DuckDuckGo, spelled as it sounds, .com is another search engine, which is almost as good, I would say. If I don't find it there first, then I might go to Google afterwards. But not so much from a privacy point of view myself, but just from a simplicity point of view, the page that it comes up with is really simple, really clean. You can get to the search results easily. And I don't know if it's just me, but I find that the Google page refreshes once in a while, so you lose your place when you're reading down through the search results with Google as well. So there's a number of reasons why you might want to think about going to duckduckgo.com as your, search engine of choice.
Even though it sounds like something you'd clean your bathroom with.
I have no idea. Duck and cover, duck, I don't know what it is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the name of that product now, what it was that you used to clean with your...
Toilet duck.
Toilet duck, that was it, yeah, toilet duck. Okay, well, it's an interesting story nonetheless. Now, I want to mention Amazon because, we're always talking about their Lady A and, last week we talked about the Fire tablets as well. But I want to focus in on a new product that they might be bringing out, certainly rumours that they will, and it's an AirPod equivalent for Amazon devices. This sounds rather interesting.
Yeah, and from the description, and again, it's from several sources, so it seems like it might happen in the not-too-distant future. They seem quite similar to... it's Amazon's answer to Apple's AirPods. So wireless, in-ear, very simple to connect. You pop them out of a charging case, just like the AirPods. There's no wires involved. There are controls on them for play, pause, etc., and for invoking the A-Lady, not going to say her name. And that's really powerful. A lot of these articles explore the limitations because there isn't an A-Lady assistant as a primary assistant on any phones. So unless you've got the Amazon A-Lady app open on your phone, then you're going to have to do some funny stuff. Like, for example, with the Google Assistant today on iOS, if you prefer to use the Google Assistant over the S-Lady, then you need to have the app installed. And then because of Siri shortcuts, you can say HUI Siri, OK Google, what are my appointments today? So you have to invoke one through the other in one phrase, which is super clunky. And that is maybe what you'll have to do with these as well when you're out and about. But when you're in the house, you'll have lots of devices that it can go to first when you tap your earbud and ask the A-Lady for a particular thing. But I'm thinking if you've got all of these echoes in your house anyway, then why not just ask the Air But I'll be honest,
I'm out and about sometimes and I think, I wish I could just ask her. And I often do. I hear myself in places, especially at work as well. I think I'm going to have to put one in my office at work because the amount of times I say, hey, lady, such and such. And oh, she's not here. Right, okay.
And she's better. She is the best out of the three.
She is.
In my opinion, anyway.
Well, our house is full of them, so that's probably why I'm so used to using it.
Yeah, so the one thing you can do at the moment if you want to query her when you're out and about, obviously, is to open up her app. And the Ask a Lady button is the bottom middle tab on that screen there.
Yeah, so you can do it. But and there is another way. I mean, I've found my... I've got the Bose noise-cancelling headphones, QC35 Mark II. And the thing about those is you can have a smart assistant available to you at the touch of a button. And you can choose between, and this is interesting because you don't get the Siri option, but you get Google Assistant or you get Lady A. And all you do is you press the button at the side of the headphones. You can set it up in settings. You can have whatever you want. It doesn't have to be that. The button can be for other things. But you can have it to kick up Lady A and have her as an assistant in your ears, which is quite nice as well.
Wow. And is that standalone? Or is that if you've got a phone nearby and it has to be an Android phone?
No, it can be any phone. It can be an iPhone or an Android phone. It's all done through the Bose Connect app. So yes, you do need to be connected to the phone, but then you would be, wouldn't you? So, yeah. I mean, the headphones aren't standalone. So, yeah, I mean, the fact is it just connects through and it works really well. And what I love about it is, you know, if you're going out, I've got in the taxi sometimes or sitting in public transport and I just say, Lady A, play my country music playlist. And she just does. She just starts playing it. And I love it. You know, so it's just a really, really nice really, really useful. And it's available. And I just think it's one thing that for a lot of people, I think it's a shame you just can't easily get to it. They need to bring back the Fire Phone. I know they never will. I know they never will. But you know, I kind of wonder this time round. I think maybe this time round, that could be quite popular. But it'll never
happen.
We'll
see. I'm certainly looking forward to these AirPod killers. And they are going to be killers if they're anywhere near as good because they're also going to be a fraction of the price.
Yes, well, that's true. That's one thing Amazon are known for is bringing things in at a cheaper price. And of course, they can shift more units and they've got all the mechanics in place for that. The other thing as well is you've got Samsung Galaxy Buds, something I've just got recently. I will be reviewing them soon here on the programme because they have got some lovely features in them. Okay, well, that's the news this week. If you have something you want to share, a story you've spotted, or you just want to tell us your story about your love of technology or your love affair with an app or whatever it might be, or piece of hardware, then get in touch. Email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And speaking of getting in touch...
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Okay, let's get into the emails then. Producer Andy's here. Hi, Andy.
Hello.
Right, let's get into the first one. And, what's our email... What's our email inbox saying today?
So the first email for today is from John the Soul Man Flynn. He says, hi team, it's been a while since I last contacted you. Excellent job with David Woodbridge. I subscribe to all three podcasts he mentioned. Brilliant and thorough with his demonstrations. Regarding ear pods, no way, particularly if you are prone to ear infections. I use over-the-ear or jawbone headsets. And regarding Narrator, yes, it is improving all the time, as I find some Windows NVDA won't read, but Narrator does. Until they can add scripts for programs like Goldwave ETC, I will still use other screen readers. That is from John.
Well, there you go. Praise to you indeed, Robin.
That was to David Woodbridge, but yeah.
Well, you got him on. but yeah, David was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, we
really
would
good.
Love to hear more from him in weeks and months to come, I'm sure. Narrator is an interesting one again. You know, I've been talking about Narrator for a while, thinking it's great. And I think that's one thing, scripting. They're saying scripting may come or will come, but it will be in future editions. And I think that will open up a lot more potential for it, especially if, you know, it's a kind of a way... Because I think scripting is one of those things we hear a lot about with screen readers. And I think the power users are very good at all this. But, you know, people like me who don't know about scripting and don't know where to start, you know, having some kind of resource available for that, you know, like an Apple Viz, if you like, for, you know, narrator scripts would be great. Maybe there will be. You never know.
I think that Jaws has had a scripting language for a long time, and the reason why it's so, it's the default for productivity, for enterprise, you know, for the workplace, is because out of the box, a lot of work has been done with scripts to provide hotkeys that otherwise wouldn't exist. So we can all think of, I'm thinking of Outlook, for example, when you've got a message open, Alt-1 will tell you who it's from, Alt-2 will tell you if there's anyone that's been copied in, Alt-3 will tell you the subject line, Alt-4 will tell you when it was sent, that sort of thing. All of those are examples of where scripts can be used. And there are other ways of doing this. WindowEyes had a similar way of doing it, but Narrator has none of those. And the ability to layer on additional functionality to make it a really effective and viable option for a productivity situation where, you know, you have to be productive, you have to have something that won't hold you back, I think is all important. So if Narrator has a scripting function, then I'm sure that the community will jump on board and start doing things. But I think it's only when things are shipped with Narrator or with Windows kind of inbuilt, you know, out of the box, that we will be able to start comparing it very favorably to other screen readers that are really more appropriate at the moment for the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. John, good to hear from you. Thank you for getting in touch, Mr. Soulman himself. Right, let's get another email. This one's actually in audio form. It comes from Jules Allam. Hi, Jules.
Good afternoon, chaps. And isn't it about time you had a permanent chap-ess helping you out in the studio? It's Julian here. Just coming back in regard of events a couple of months ago, when Dale emailed in on behalf of his Wolverhampton Android users group asking for advice regarding OCR text detection programs in Android. I came back a couple of weeks later offering some thoughts and suggestions. One of those suggestions was Envision AI. Well, the latest update is that Envision AI is now out of the beta testing phase and consequently is now costing money. Quite how much money, I'm not sure. In the Play Store, it is listed as from 59 pence per item to an eye-watering £139.99 per item. Quite what that buys you, I'm not sure. I have tried to find out, but it's not at all clear. The good news is that there's a new app which will do much the same thing in the Play Store. It's called Speak, S-P-E-A-K, exclamation mark, by a developer called High Mountain, and it's free. It does all the things you'd expect it to do, really. It has text detection of a specific document. It also has continuous detection, so you can move the camera about trying to find where the text is on something. It also has a color detection option and an object recognition option. Those last two work about as well as those things ever do, which in my experience is not particularly good. It also has an option called Feel. Quite what this is meant to do, I'm not entirely sure. There's lots of haptic feedback as I move my finger around the screen. So I'm guessing perhaps it's trying to describe the scene in front of the camera in terms of vibration. If so, it doesn't really work for me. But, you know, I'm just an elderly, impoverished Suffolk peasant, so what do I know? Possibly there's some whippersnapper in Wolverhampton who'll get it instantly. If so, perhaps they could tell me, because I don't get it at all. That's a free program, so a good replacement for Envision AI, if that's where you want to go. Just a general thought on this subject. Whatever it buys you, £139.99 seems an awful lot of money for what is basically just a fairly ordinary OCR text detection app. Is that really sustainable in today's market? Am I being cynical in thinking that Envision have been priced out of the iPhone market since the release of Microsoft Seeing AI. Have they just ported across to Android in the hope of getting some money there? If so, I think they're already too late. There are several decent free text detection apps in the Play Store. And my personal favorite still, which is ID Pro, not entirely free, as you have to pay for additional modules if you want them, but they're good value for money, reasonably cheap, and you only pay once. So just wondered what you think. £139.99, is that really sustainable now? Bye for now.
Well, Jules, the interesting thing is that you're, from my understanding, what you're paying for at the top end is like a lifetime subscription. So once you've paid for it once at that top level, you've paid for it and you've got it for life. There is, though, a subscription option in there. And I think that starts around £5.499, something like that, a month. There are different options there for you. But you're right, you're paying for it. That's the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So that... there is a 12-month, which will give you a slight discount on that $5.99 a month.
$5.99, right, okay.
And then the £130-odd one is the lifetime one, like you say, which obviously, if you're going to be using it for years and years, represents good value over, you know, compared to the $5.99 a month. So I think that a review of the different scanning apps that are available for Android is called for, because certainly not all apps, scanning apps, are created equal. So just as we've been looking at Voice Dream Scanner and chatting about how it compares to KNFB Reader and Seeing AI's functionality on iOS, I think something similar needs to happen. I think that it's really important for loan developers to be able to have a business model that is sustainable for them. But at the same time, how can they compete with the latest cutting edge recognition engines, etc., that the likes of Microsoft have? So it's difficult to see, yeah, how that can be maintained and as effective as the real big boys. So yeah, it's a shame that Seeing AI isn't available for Android, similarly with Voice Dream Scanner as well. But yeah, what can you say? What can we do?
Okay, let's get one more email in before we go.
This email is from Juliet. She says, "Hi, Tech Talkers. I'm loving the show as always. I've got a couple of questions I'd really love answers to. The first is about Leary. I really want an RSS reader app, and although usually I love free apps, I'm more than happy to pay for something that seems as good as this. My question is this. I know the app is great for voiceover users, but how large can one make the font? I have a lot of usable vision and I like to read off my phone, but when I can do, I may need something that has a nice clear font and formatting. My second question is about getting books in Braille readers. I learned Braille at the end of last year and I'm seriously considering investing in an Orbit 20, but I was wondering if it's possible to read books from my Kindle app on it. If not, then how else can I read books on it? I know that the cheaper option as Braille tech goes, but I want to make sure to get my money's worth if I do end up buying. Thanks in advance. Stay awesome," she says. That's from Juliet. Stay awesome.
Okay, well, thank you for that. We will do our best to stay awesome, Julie. Thank you for that. Let's kick off then chatting about Leary. Now, you know more about Leary than I do. I've only started using it. From my experience, there isn't much when it comes to the offer of larger text. It's certainly built for voiceover users.
Well, that might be because it's not under fonts. So if you go into settings, okay, it's not under the fonts section, which is just about font style. Mm-hmm. And it's not under accessibility, which is just about voiceover. So, yeah, you might be excused for thinking. So what you have to do, you have to go to article options under settings, which isn't necessarily where you think you need to go, but under settings and then article options, there are some choices for the font size in the article view, which includes up to 5 lines of a preview of a document as well. So before you tap into the document, all of your news items have downloaded. And in that list view, that's where you can change the text size up to. Huge is the highest option in there. So that's under article options under settings. So have a look in there. But that doesn't affect how big the article itself is when you tap through to read the whole article. There, if you tap through, there is a button at the top which looks like two A's. And that is spoken out as change appearance if you're a voiceover user. So if you tap on that double A button in there, you can, there's an increment and decrement size option. And if you keep tapping the increment size option, you can get up to the huge equivalent as well. So yeah, there is a way within the article list and within each article as well of bumping the text size right up.
Amazing. So you can do it, right? I mean, it's not in the obvious places, which is why I couldn't find it. But yeah, that's really good. To your main question about the Kindle books, yes, you can connect to your iPhone or iPad or even a Mac or whatever and read Kindle books there. It's a nice and easy process if you're using an iPhone, because all you do is you pair up your Orbit Reader with your phone, and you use your phone to get to your Kindle books as you would, and then you can start reading. Turn VoiceOver off once you're in the book and start reading. Simple as that. But I'm also hearing, Robin, on the Vine, that there will be a new service coming soon from a certain charity that I happen to work for that will allow us more access to Braille books in a similar way to the ways we currently get audiobooks. That's all I can say.
Wow. I'm a gog.
Well, there you go. I shall leave you on that bombshell announcement. That is it for our show this week. Thank you so much for listening. Get involved if you want to. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. It's your show. If you've got a question for Robin and I, then get involved. I will be here next week. You've got Sean Preece back with you next week. He's taking the chair and the reins. And Robin, you'll be joining him for that. Are you scared?
I'm excited.
Right. Scared and excited.
Big fan.
Yes, absolutely. Great to hear Sean back on the show. He's back next week, and I'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Robin, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Andy. And thanks, Steve.
Thanks for listening to Tech Talk. Don't forget to check out and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for more great interviews and stories about technology for blind people. Just search for RNIB Tech Talk. See you next time.